हरिः
ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, Adhyaya Prakashika, page 3. Lord Kapiladev has described to his mother in five chapters, 25 to 29, bhakti mixed with gunas, pure bhakti as well as jnana and astanga yoga and sattva guna. In three chapters, 30 to 32, the Lord now shows, one after another, the results arising from all varieties of actions devoid of bhakti, in tamas, rajas, and sattva. In the 30th chapter, Kapiladev explains the pains in youth, old age, death, and hell of persons agitated by attachment to wife and sons. Because you have to explain, you could say, well, we're devotees, why do we need to hear this? Because the point is if we're talking about mixed devotion, we're talking about it's mixed with this. That's what it's mixed with. Right? So, you know, you have pure bhakti. And you have what the materialists are into. And mixed means it's pure bhakti mixed with what the materialists do. So if you hear about pure bhakti and you hear about the materialists, then you've heard the whole package. Now it's just a matter of how you want to mix and match. You know, you make your own cocktail, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Living entities do not note the powerful effect of time and thus become deluded into creating things time will destroy. Maya, right? So it means you're going to work very hard to create something that you know it's your life's work, but time will destroy it. So in other words, if it's part of your duty, you perform, you do the best of it. And that's what's special, is that you did the best of your duty, not that you generated something. Yes. Right? So what's glorious about Yudhishthir is his performance of duty. Because of that, he became the emperor of the world. It's not being the emperor of the world that is the glory of Yudhishthir. Yes. It's his devotion. It's his adherence to Dharma, no matter what the adversity. Yes. Does that make sense? So the Vedic is, I perform my duties, and you see those that are like that, they do amazing things in their duties. You know, like, I think it was, I can't remember, Maharaj Shivi. Or Shivi,
yes.
It was something I can't remember. Was that the one with Indra and the hawk?
Yes.
Yeah. So then that kind of thing, or then who is the one who about? Oh, that was Ambarish about the fasting.
Yes.
No, but that was. There's another one. He was fasting. Oh, what was that? Yeah, these are all ones coming later. After sixth canto, we get into all of these ones. Because you're showing that that commitment to performing their duty and not being distracted by material disturbance. Oh, this was when someone came and he was just about to break his fast, and then somebody came in and begged, so he gave whatever he had. So then they... Huh? That was Shibi? And then at the end, but that was another... Unless there's two different pastimes. No, but that was the whole thing. That was about the pigeon coming and took shelter. No, but this is another thing. Where he's there and there's a Brahma, a qualified Brahma came, so he gave, and then they made again. He was about to break his fast, and then someone else came, and then I think Shiva came as like a chandala or something, and he gave everything. And so he kept doing this, and then at some point they were all demigods, and they came and then gave blessings and everything. Now, I'm not sure. I don't remember. That's the thing. It's been a long time. But the point is that's what's glorious. So they're doing their duties, and because of doing their duties, glorious things happen. It's not because of their mechanical techniques of applying their knowledge to the material energy, the transformation through the time factor, that that's what's amazing. Because that, who remembers after a while anyway? Just like now, planes, everyone flies planes. Does anybody really care about, the Wright brothers? Wilbur and who's the other guy? I don't even remember now, with the Wilbur and whatever. Yeah, and of the two, they invented it. One of the brothers was a lawyer. All he did was deal with court cases of other people trying to develop the airplane and use their techniques. Like I think one of the major, competitors for them was a group in France. Like that, because that immediately they came up and started something in France. And so the one brother spent his whole life just on court cases. And the other brother was the one that was actually developing the plane. Now, if they had both developed the plane, they would have done well, but because there's only two of them and only one's working, the other groups actually developed quicker. Like that. Well, if they had both worked together, then they would have, stuff like that. So they're worried about the technical thing, but who remembers? Who remembers? Like that, I mean, what is it? Who was the guy? Benjamin Franklin out with his kite in the rain with the key on the thing. And again, the lightning hits it. And then he discovers electricity as if nobody knew what lightning was. All these different things. And so they're worried about the technical things. But are they glorious for the character? That's the whole thing. Like that. It's just like the Visigoths. They took over Rome. They destroyed the Roman Empire. Right? Boy, is that from your neck of the woods, right? But, it's not that the Visigoths are remembered for great character and outstanding nobility and everything like that, So it's... That's the whole thing. But when there's character, that's what remains. That's what's glorious. Yes. So that's the thing, is that in thousands of years of history, how many people do they actually focus on? Right? They'll focus. Let's say you have a whole civilization, then they'll just bring out one or two people here and there. That's the whole. So one devotee was telling me about, he was reading this book on inventions that changed the whole dynamic of how things function in the Western world. Little things that you wouldn't even think about, like stirrups. The horse? You have the thing, and then they had, coming off the side of the horse, you have these things that you put your feet into. So before that, they didn't have them. And so how you on a horse, you were very light. You had to be agile and everything like that. But when they developed stirrups, then that changed that whole thing where they wear the whole full mail, full chain mail, or those full outfits that, weigh a ton, like that. So all these little things like this changed that no one would know. So some little things have a more greater effect than they do something else, or like, the Walkman. That little tape recorder that you can walk around and listen to music wherever you go, and then after that the iPod. Little things that you don't really think about it, and who even came up with it, then maybe you remember, maybe you don't. Give it a few years and definitely no one will. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Living entities do not note the powerful effect. Okay. And thus become the powerful effect of time, and thus become deluded into creating things time will destroy. No, you perform your duties. If by performing your duties, then the family estate becomes very developed and everything, this is glory because you performed your duty. Now you work your whole life to develop the family estate, then it's a matter of time before it goes. The IRS will come along, you get a bad son, you get, relatives that are, have problems. You have so many things, and then you work your whole life, and then it just disappears. But if you performed your duties, then, you know, the next generation perform their duties, and then you leave and go to the forest. Right? So then that's glorious. Yes.
For example, okay, this is about the family statement. The person worked on it for the whole, his whole life. That was his duty.
No, there's a difference between performing your duties and then focusing on developing the state. Because generally you see the guys who develop the biggest state, how good are the family relations? Right? So it's one thing, yes, you do that, you put some money away, you invest your money properly, like you see, like it's always an interesting thing on celebrities. There's guys that they make millions every movie that they do, or whatever it is that they do, but they are bankrupt. Because as soon as they get money, they just spend it. While there's others that have been doing the same amount or even less, and they're worth hundreds of millions. Why? Because they get 20 million from a project, they invest it in some business, into land, into, you know, property, into something. And then, you know, let's say you do 5 movies, you get 10 million, you get 20 million, then they're worth 100 million. Right? But other guys, they just party and have a good time and buy themselves, you know, ridiculous stuff, and then, you know. So it's a difference on, I just do my duties, so I do all the things I'm supposed to. That means my sadhana is going well, my family life is going well, I'm putting my full attention into my occupation, and it's giving good results. And, you know, the family and everybody's benefiting, I'm giving in charity. So, you understand? So it is prospering, you're trying your best that everything will prosper, but it's about everything prospering. Yes, so the emphasis is on performance of duties, because the duties aren't temporary. The benefit from that is not temporary. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes.
It means within spiritual, if I'm just talking about materialist, it's temporary, but you do take that with you. I don't take the house with me and the family, but I take the religious benefit of it to my next life. So that has a better, longer term. Well, if it's just about I work so hard for the estate, it's going to be gone, right? And unless my children and grandchildren are pious, even if I'm so pious, the maximum will be is halfway through the life of the grandchild, it will all run out, because that's the maximum that something can go, have effect, good or bad, is 2.5 generations. Right? So even if I put together an amazing thing that you could keep going for hundreds and hundreds of years, if the next generation doesn't have the same piety, it will be gone. So it's more important to be living a pious life, training your children, your family in piety, then that's what's going to take you through. So now, that's the kind of thing that's very nice to engage in devotional service. Right? Because already the mentality, it's about the duty. It's about the surrender to the authority of the Veda that I'm pious. Right? It's about detachment. It's about knowledge. It's about future. Right? So all those as principles, that's what we do in devotional service. Just they're doing it without the devotional service. So that's motive goodness. Right? Motive goodness is doing all the activities based on the good qualities that you would use in devotional service, but you're not devotional. That's motive goodness. Right? That's why it's fruitless to say, oh, we're not worried about goodness. We're not worried about goodness, but we're not worried about passion or ignorance either. We can't say we're not worried about goodness, but we know passion and ignorance is our thing. No, it's none of it's our thing. But the reason goodness is chosen, because it's the situation of somebody, if it was devotional, that's what it would look like. Right? But and why do we choose that? You can say, but we're devotees, we're transcendental. Yes, if we're pure, then yes. But if we're not, then what are you going to pick? Therefore, I should pick a lifestyle that is closest to pure devotion. So I'm practicing pure devotion, and when I fall down, I'll fall down to goodness. Right? Like when Bhakti Shumaras was going to take sannyas, because he was so young, and he'd only been in the movement. I was 77. That would have been, I think, 2 years. Like that, which is much quicker, maybe even less. I think it was 18 months, whatever it is. It's much quicker. So even there was a lot of sannyasis that had taken sannyas after 3 years in the movement. Like that. But this was even quicker. And so then these senior men, which means that they were, you know, around a few years longer, right? Like that. Then they're telling Prabhupada, you know, but you know, he's so new, he's a young, what if he falls down? Prabhupada just looked at him and says, yes, if he falls down, he'll fall down to the mode of goodness. Like that. Right? You know? So that's the thing, is that in your fallen state, then you're functioning in goodness. And then because of the knowledge and the attachment, you'll see this is stupid and then take up pure devotion again. So that's why it's the ideal situation if for mixed devotional service, because at least then it's going from goodness to pure goodness, back to goodness, back to pure goodness. It just goes back and forth there. But if you don't, you reject that, and then all you have is passion ignorance. So it's pure goodness, passion ignorance, pure goodness, passion ignorance. That's a bit wild. You know? That's that. How you say, that's not a gentleman's rod. You know? Yeah. That makes sense. So that's why these scientific things are given. And then, someone, because the mode of goodness is the lifestyle of the devotees, just without the bhakti, it's the perfect example for others. Therefore, those on the platform of pure devotion also follow it, because it's their natural lifestyle. We could say, oh, all these rules, but everybody gets up early in the morning in the Vedic culture because the Lord gets up. The Lord gets up early, that's why we get up early. It means if he slept until 12, we'd be sleeping, and we'd get up at 11, right? You know, so we're up before the Lord, we can, you know, make a, you know, how you say, I'm not sure what you call it, but, you know, breakfast, right? But because the Lord gets up in the Brahma Muhurta, that's why we get up. Right? Then when he goes to bed, we go to bed. Right? He eats in the day at time. We eat at those. So everything's just based off the Lord's lifestyle. Right? So this whole thing about the Vedic doesn't apply to who? You know, who is this important group of individuals that it doesn't apply to? Right? And probably if you check, it's going to be basically yourself and whoever, you know, your few friends. And then you say, but there's so many. Who are these so many? Do you even know them? Do you understand? So that's the whole thing. You could say, well, it's not practical, you know, people get up later. It's interesting to note, if you're out on the road early in the morning, like at 6, 5 in the morning, there's tons of traffic out there. Yes. Between 5 and 7, there's tons of traffic. Then there's a gap. And then it starts again at 8, 9. So the people that go at 8 and 9 think that that's when everything happens. But all the things that make practically the city function, they're all out there at 5 to 7 in the morning on the road. So that means, when did they get up? Before that. You know? I remember one of the boys was making a interesting observation. He was telling someone else. I just heard it from this other one of the boys. And then, you know, in the Gurukul, they, you know, hadn't been that enthusiastic about getting up for Mangal Arati. But they would go, you know. But it wasn't like their favorite part of the day, you know. But then after they were out of the Gurukul and they set themselves up in the world, they were running businesses. And for running the business, they had to start early in the morning. So they had to get up at the same time in the morning. You know, they still had to get up at 3:34 in the morning, get up, take a bath, you know, do some chanting, eat, get everything organized, and then get down and then set up the office or whatever it is so that they were ready when people would come. So they were making this funny thing, is that I didn't like it then, you know, but then I was getting the spiritual benefit. Now I'm having to do it for material benefit. So, you know, he was just saying, so it was actually better when I was in the school, you know, so I have to do the same thing. So, yeah. We see here is where the overlap is, you know, about the material. So therefore the mode of goodness is considered the best situation. It's still mundane, but it's the best situation. While if you connect that to Krishna, it has the most easiest and comfortable connection. Passion and ignorance, it's harder to connect to Krishna. Right? You can say, oh, but you can connect anything to Krishna. Yes, but who can connect anything to Krishna? It's the person in the mode of goodness, because they're using knowledge and detachment. Person in the mode of ignorance, is there's not much chance they're going to actually connect it. You know what I'm saying? So that's, oh, so then we can, like I remember, now we don't get it, but remember in the first couple of years? You know, it's like when you say you can connect everything, so then what's the point? Immediately the hand goes up. So what about sinful activities? You know, like that. They always have to do that. You know? But the point is, if someone in goodness could do it, but they wouldn't be doing it. But the person who is sinful wouldn't be able to do it because they don't have the knowledge and detachment to do it. Does that make sense? Yeah? Yeah.
In our practice, we are supposed with the age, with the experience, to develop more goodness.
Yes, because knowledge and detachment are the basic, you could say, basic functions of goodness. Mm-hmm. By performing bhakti, that comes. That's why, for us, coming from backgrounds of passion and ignorance, we're not going to develop to goodness from that position.
Yes.
Over hundreds or thousands of lifetimes, yes. But in one lifetime, no. It's going to come because of bhakti. Bhakti, as a side thing, generates knowledge and detachment. Therefore, with time, we even materially become situated in goodness. And then all these things of sadhana and all that become easier.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense? Because the point of, oh, it's not applied now and that, it's just like this. Okay, if we took all the whole Western world, I mean actually Western world, who the Western world considers as Western world, right? Means this is the point where we drop out the position of equality, right? Because, let's take first world, whole first world, all of it, all together, the whole population, most likely doesn't equal the population of the Indians.
Yes.
Right? And the Indians follow these things, and they're using it to success in their, in their moving in the world. So why is it said no, but it doesn't, in the modern world it doesn't apply? They come into the same modern world and make more money. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that there's these funny perspectives. It's just, one's so proud of my particular brand of goodness, passion, ignorance. And basically you can say it's ignorance with a tinge of passion. Right? Like that. The guy that, it's like this. Basically your society is in ignorance. Right? That's the predominance. You just have to go down to the marina, right? Marina, right? The guys that own the boats there, they're the ones with the touch of passion. Right? But everybody else is basically ignorance. You don't have pure ignorance, it also has passion and goodness in it. But the ones that you can say are passionate aren't your common person. Right? Like that. The common person is predominantly ignorant. Like that. But the society is going on and develops because there's people in passion. Right? Because the person in ignorance, they're just happy that they got through the day. Right? Like that. The person in passion, it's not about getting through the day, it's what I'm going to get tomorrow. Right? So they work very hard. This makes some sense. Okay. Maya covers the living entity and pulls him down by influencing him to think of his home, land, wealth, and even his body as permanent. Right? Because she first covers, right? And then throws. Right? Maya covers the living entity and pulls him down. So those are two potencies, covering and pulling. Because you can't pull if you're conscious of it, you're being pulled. Right? If I pick you up and toss you into a mud puddle, you notice it and you'll be grumpy. But if I cover you and you think this mud puddle is great, when I toss you in, you think I've done you a great benefit. So that's Maya first covers you so that you think getting involved in the material nature is good. Then when she pulls you down, then you see, oh. Does that make sense? Yeah. She's clever. Does that make sense?
always say that when we...
A new technique, I think. It's more subtle. No, I think it's good, good. Just reminded you. Someone was telling me once about, I don't know about others, but this about an auction scene. But it's not the, you know, like Sotheby's and those kind of really high-end ones, because there they have the little things and numbers and all that. These are ones where they're out there and they're, I don't know what they're selling, but, you know, maybe the horses and this and that. So no one wants anybody else to know who's bidding, otherwise it makes the price go up like that. So they have all these hidden ways of knowing. Like they were saying one guy, you know, one guy would, you know, touch his hat, another guy would have false teeth so he'd click them. You know, different people would do different things, but the auctioneer knew all the signs. But no one else did, so that way then they could control. So then, you know, yeah, you have some new subtle technique here. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh.
Happens to me all the time.
When we are aware, when we acquire knowledge.
Yes.
About Maya's covering first.
That's why knowledge is there, so we can see the covering.
So, can we say that technically we see it, then she might not be able to cover us fully and throw us? Just a little bit.
Yeah, it's less, or we sit there and watch while it happens. But the point is that you can see, or even if she did trick you, you can see it more quickly. Because that's the point of the knowledge training and sadhana. If you have the practice, then by habit you do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like if you have the habit of getting up early, you're going to wake up early. Basically, and even if you don't set your alarm, you're going to wake up earlier than people who don't wake up early. You know what I'm saying? It's just by habit you're going to have a better lifestyle. So that's why it's important. So this thing, no, we just do whatever we like, you know, why we should be so controlled, that just means that you're just easier prey for Maya, that's all. Because you don't have a structure to your life, so how will you even notice if it changes? You know? You can't call it sadhana, getting up every day at 12, and then doing this and that around, and then, you know, once it gets dark, going out on the town. It may be regular, but you can't call that a sadhana, right? There's not a whole lot there to benefit from, right? You know, unless of course it's, you know, on a codicil, staying up all night and doing kirtan, then maybe you could use it to benefit, right? The household is given as a practical example of such deluding thinking. So the whole idea in the Vedic is you give an example of that is the fullest. Does that make sense? You know, just like fratricidal war. Is there any more fratricidal war than the Pandavas and the Kauravas? Right? Is there any greater loss than the whole world empire down to nothing? You know what I'm saying? Others have lost, like Nala lost his kingdom, and it was a great kingdom. But not that I know of, he was emperor of the world. He might have been, but I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? So it always. So therefore, everybody is attached to his home, land, wealth, and even his body, right? But it's not as it's. You could say it's more exaggerated or more full in the Grihastha, right? Just like when it comes to study. No one is, full example is the brahmachari. Grihastha's study, sannyasi's study, vanaprastha's study, but they have so many other things they're doing. But a brahmachari basically just does menial service and study. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, they're given the example there. Grihastha's are giving the example of taking care of guests or giving in charity. The others do that, but they have more. Right? If you're going to be how austere you are, that's vanaprastha is given the example. Does that make sense? You know, the detachment, that's the sannyasis. Right? So here, if we're talking about attachment to being distracted by the material elements, then the grihastha is going to be the best example. Because then you see it in its fullest. So no one can say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. Because if we gave the brahmacharis as example, then the grihastha said, well, that's that, but what about, you know? he's attached to where he hangs his gumsha. And someone else came and used it, and his whole life is turned upside down because someone used the spot. Now where does he put his gumsha? The grihasthas say, that's stupid. You know, it's like, we got a lot more important things than that going on. You know, like where do I hang my dhoti, you know? Or where do I hang all my wife's saris? You know, that's, now we're talking something serious, right? You can hang the gumsha on the door, right? But you can't hang the saris on the door. You can hang one sari on the door, but how many doors do you have in your house, right? You know, so it's a... Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's... Yeah? Yeah? Okay. The householder remains with his family despite all difficulties. Even when he's old, the householder remains enchanted by his wife and children, forgetting that his life or theirs can end at any moment. Right? So it's, we see what the emphasis is. It's not about the understanding, the knowledge of the soul. It's about all development of these family elements. Right? That's the whole point. So we're talking about mixed devotional service. We're talking about devotional service with some of this. You know, and depending on the individual, it'll be more or less. Right? Someone could have less stuff, less attachment, more stuff, more attachment, less stuff, more attachment, more stuff, less attachment. So you're going to have all this range. But the point is the full example is given. So all you have to do is ratchet it back to where it fits you. You know, so they give the example at 100%. So if you're functioning at 60 in that area, you just, it still applies. Right? And if you're 90, then it's pretty close, you know. But it's that, right? Like that. So it's, such a householder may even go to hell for the misdeeds he commits while supporting his family. Right? Because supporting his family is seen as the most important, but you're supposed to perform your duties to do that. Right? Because generally speaking, it's, you want more. Then the point is you perform your duties, what facilities you get, that's how you live. Right? In other words, there's a standard that you can obtain. You always set your standard at the highest point of what you can attain. You don't set your standard beyond that. So by putting in your effort, you get X amount of money, then you, whatever's the best of that, that's where you set it. If you're trying to develop it. If you're just trying to maintain it, then just whatever it takes to maintain, that gives you much more time and facility. It means facility for devotional service. You understand? But people take up sinful because they want what's beyond what they get. Right? So therefore there's cheating and stealing and all these different things to get more than what comes easily. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is sinful.
Sinful, yeah. Because sinful is you perform your duties. You don't take outside of that.
Yeah, but to want more that we...
To want more, it's not. It's, you could say it's a sinful mentality, but in itself it's not sinful. But the problem is it will, you will generally become sinful by cultivating that mentality. Right? You know, if I'm always thinking about a certain thing to eat, it's a good chance within a short time I'm going to be eating that. Right? So whatever you cultivate, that's what happens. Right? Yet, despite such sacrifice, he will be disrespected and neglected in his old age, because since you did set such a material standard and it's based on material facility, and so then your claim to fame is providing that that facility. So when you get old and you can't provide that facility, then what's your importance? You understand? But if it's based on duty, then the relationship, so that means the duty, so the relationships are the prominent point, then the relationships maintain. Right? So that means in the mode of goodness, that lifestyle, then it can be more consistent throughout. So it's not overexciting, you know, in the grihastha period, but it's not over disappointing in the vanaprastha time.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's controlled in the brahmachari time, it's controlled there, mm-hmm. So everything works. If you're controlled as a grihastha, your children grow up in that environment, then when you become vanaprastha, they live controlled. But if you're uncontrolled, they'll be uncontrolled, so you just become useless. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole problem with the material mentality, is that it cultivates an unrealistic position. And so then the results of it is like that. Mode of passion is good in the beginning, bad at the end. So the whole idea is that you don't get trained as a brahmachari. You're having a good time there, but how many people that were wild as teenagers have a great life as a grihastha? Right? It's not known as a common thing. Right? But now if you're controlled as a brahmachari, then you have a better time as a grihastha. You're controlled as a grihastha, you have a better time as a vanaprastha. Right? Because mode of goodness means it's difficult at the beginning, but it's better at the end. And passion is great in the beginning, but always ends up bad. It's just the nature of it. Right? Then, when he finally lies down at death, surrounded by relatives, he worries only about his family. Such a sinful conditioned soul is taken by the Yamadutas for punishment and made to suffer as he remembers the sinful acts he committed during his life. Right? Because that means the point is they will make you remember. So, you know. Like that. That's their job, right? Because the material consciousness is not to forgive, right? So, therefore, they're unforgiving. Right? They definitely let you know what you did wrong. Yeah. Yes.
When the devotee, Sri Prabhupada said that, you know, we give our life to the moment when Lord Chaitanya will get here.
Yes.
Let's say those who are mixed. And
so then, he'll take.
Yes.
He'll take care how much is you want him to take care.
But will Yamadutas also
know? No, Yamadutas never come for devotees. So that part of it you can write off. So that was okay. Okay. Now you can sit and relax through the whole rest of the chapter. Now you can know. Okay, yeah, cool. So that's not me. You know Yamadutas. It says no Yamadutas on Jack, right?
Who will take care?
Who will take care?
I mean, you have to be transferred to the next life. I always thought that it's either Yamadutas or...
No, it's just Maya takes care directly. It's just like you ever been in the airport, right? You're standing in the queue and it's going like this, and while you're standing there, you know, there's a million people behind you and in front of you, so no way to get out. You can't go to the bathroom, because if you do, God only knows what happened. But while you're standing there, then some guys come along in their little suits like that, pick up the thing, move it, and some people go straight through and then they put it back again. Right? No? Doesn't happen? Ever seen?
Yeah,
so like that. Maya arranges. Don't have to worry. I mean, the best thing is just go back to Godhead. You don't have to worry about anything. But otherwise, if you're here, then that's arranging. The Yamadutas only deal with people who are within the material confines. Pious, impious. So the impious, they're nasty with. And the pious, then they're like servants, assistants. So for the very pious person, when the Yamadutas come and take them, it's done very nicely. I'm not sure if they look any better. Maybe they comb their hair or something like that. Try to smile, you know. Brush their teeth, you know. It's something, you know. Polish their toenails or something, you know. But like the dogs, they don't bother. They guard them. But if you're sinful, then they harass you. You know, it's like that. You get there, there's the Vaitarani is a very nice river with lotuses. There's a nice boat. The boatman takes you across. But if you're sinful, there's no boat. You have to swim and there's no lotuses. Right? In any case, you're going to the other side. It's just a matter of how you go. Right? You heard of the tradition of the gold coins on the ice? That's to pay for the boat. Huh?
I don't know.
You never heard of that? Even in the old, like the Greeks and those, they would do it. Because it's a traditional thing. Yeah, because they had the understanding that there was a boatman, and he had to be paid. So then, whether they make the connection, but that's what the coins and the eyes are for. So for devotees, it's not so important.
But it is important to be a devotee.
Yes, it's important to be a devotee. Yes, very good point. Yeah. Yeah, the emphasis, I don't have to do this, I'm a devotee. No, but the importance is you have to be a devotee, right? So devotee means pure devotee. Yeah, good point, good point. Is that a question or you're scratching your arm? Scratching your arm, okay. Okay. So we see this is also preliminary to, we know what's going to be happening with Ajamiya, right? Sloka Anusharana. Because it doesn't tell about all the things, but then he just tells the Yamadus, this gives the full detail. Summary of verses 1 to 5, time's deluding effect. Verses 6 to 18, family life of an illusioned human. Verses 19 to 34, beyond death to hell and rebirth. This is, you know, it's like the, what do you call it, that famous novel, To Hell and Back Again. Was it Bed, Bath, and Beyond Death to Hell and Rebirth? Far out, anyway. Okay, verses 1 to 5, time's deluding effect. In the previous chapter, Devahuti requested the Lord to describe in detail, both for her and for people in general, the continual process of birth and death, right? Because it's good to know, one, what goes on, because people like to know. And it's just also so that it just makes it very clear that that's not something to get involved in. That's why the material is described, so that one's not inclined to get involved. Because living the devotional lifestyle, then one is basically unaffected by the modes. And so after a while, you get conditioned by goodness. And so you think it's not so bad. So these stories remind you that it is bad, right? You know, it's like when have you ever been, let's say, just as an example, you ever been stuck in traffic in Calcutta with no AC in the car, right? It's like it takes forever. Just, you know, the light, it's there. You know, you're sitting there for, you know, a couple of minutes. It's like forever. Now, have you ever been in the same situation in an AC car? You know, it's like, you know, it takes half an hour. You don't care. But the other one, if it's, you know, more, if you're sitting more than like 5 seconds, you're starting to freak out, right? Does that make sense?
Like some symptoms of the body.
Yes. So because otherwise you forget. You know, you're sitting there and you're looking outside. Like someone was telling me, they were in London, you know, looking out the window, the sun was out, and, you know, there's no snow, there's no wind, no rain. It looked very pleasant out. And they were just thinking, oh, that's nice. You know, it's just like in India. It must be pleasant and warm. But then after a while, I was discussing something, and then they said, yeah, right, it's freezing outside. It just looks good when you look out the window from inside with the heat on and everything. It looks quite nice, you know. But actually outside is. So that's the whole thing, is within Krishna consciousness, the material world may not look so bad. But that's why these chapters are to remind that, no, it actually is. Right? That's why we've come to Krishna consciousness, because this is what was our situation. Then we see this is terrible, we take up Krishna consciousness. So material life doesn't change. It's not that because now there's more technology, there's less suffering. It's just as much. Right? Before, it was, unless you were at home, the people you didn't like couldn't call you. Now they can call you wherever you are. So how does it improve, right? Like before, you could go out for a walk, no one could bother you. Now you go out for a walk, you can spend the whole... Yeah. Okay. For she knew that by hearing of such calamities, one may become detached from the material activities. In answer, Lord Kapiladev describes the movements of the conditioned souls by the power of time and the results of adverse fruit of activities. The personality of Godhead said, as a mass of clouds does not know the powerful influence of the wind, a person engaged in material consciousness does not know the powerful strength of the time factor by which he is being carried. Right? Because the cloud is just going in the wind. So they're just, you know, to them, they're just kind of like in one place. So at the same time, the materialist, he's being carried by the modes and by the time factor, and he doesn't actually understand that. Srila Prabhupada writes, the great politician pundit named Chanakya said that even one moment of time cannot be returned even if one is prepared to pay millions of dollars. One cannot calculate the amount of loss there is in wasting valuable time. Either materially or spiritually, one should be very alert in utilizing the time which he has at his disposal. A conditioned soul lives in a particular body for a fixed measurement of time. And it is recommended in the scriptures that within that small measurement of time, one has to finish Krishna consciousness and thus gain release from the influence of the time factor. Right? The idea is that whatever time you have in this body, that should be what you utilize to get out of the material world. Good. Because it does end, so there must be the utilization so that then you can transfer the spiritual world rather than another body. Because otherwise it's a whole trip, right? You know, it's like, when does somebody become serious about Krishna consciousness? Right? You know, generally when they're born, or at what age do they generally become? Yeah, something like that, you know. So like, yeah. It's like, not as much now, it's a little bit better, but you could say a lot of the previous second generation, when they hit 30, they got serious. Like that, because then they were in family life and they saw that what their parents were talking about, what they read in Prabhupada's books, was the fact. Right? Now you have something at an earlier age start. But the whole point is whatever it is, that means from the time you leave the body, the nine months, then being born, and then up to the point you become serious, that's a lot of time wasted. And in that time, you don't know what you're going to be exposed to, that how serious you're going to be. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then, why waste time? That's the idea.
There can be a lot of that.
A lot of?
Guilty feelings. Your condition, you know, some of your limitations, you want to become better.
Right.
I mean, but some things, they still way there, way out there. So you don't really see the moment, but you always falling short from, you know, from your goals, whatever you set to yourself.
Right, right.
So it's a lot of mental thing can go on.
No, but the point is means use it to advantage, means you have a few things there. Advantage is that if you know that you're short of the standard that you would really like to be, then what kind of mentality can you maintain? One of great pride or one of humility?
Yeah.
Yeah, but humility should be the result of that rather than insecurity or, you know, like that, because generally insecurity means that there's more material desire. It's just like, let's say someone doesn't have a desire. That means that they, let's say, I'm trying to think of a good example. Let's say, somebody doesn't worry about, let's say, their social position. And if they're with a group of friends and they say, hey, sing this, they don't mind. They'll give it a shot, even if it's terrible. And they'll just laugh, and everybody else will laugh, and that's the end of it. But then somebody says, sing, and, oh, no, I can't, I'm terrible, I'm this and that, because in their mind, they feel they should be singing fabulous. Right? And then when they do sing and it's not so good, they feel bad, and everybody else. It's just like if you get scared and run, the dog chases you. You don't, they don't. So you understand? So you actually just make what you're afraid will happen, you make happen. Does that make sense? So the whole point is that's the difference between the has such guilt and you know, seeing things in a realistic light. Because humility, you understand, I'm not at the position I'd want to be. And even if I was, still, compared to the Lord and the other devotees, that's... So we're able to use that ability to see that it's not ideal, because that's intelligence. And now it's what the mind does with it, what's the important thing. That you're seeing it's not the problem. Because we're looking at, I'm seeing this, that's the problem. So if I stop seeing like that, I stop the problem. Right? But it's what you do with that. And then the point is if I have that as an ideal and I'm convinced that that's good as an ideal, I should be endeavoring for it. But everything takes practice. Right? That's the point of sadhana. I practice it, it gets better. I don't practice it, it doesn't get better. Does that make sense? Okay, quote, whatever is produced by the materialist with great pain and labor for so-called happiness, the Supreme Personality as the time factor destroys. And for this reason, the conditioned soul laments. Right? Because it's about doing these things, and so when it's destroyed, you feel bad. But if it's about performing your duties, nothing can destroy your duties. Yeah. You know, that sense of duty. It may be that the environment you function within it adjusts, right, by the influence of time. But you still perform, like the Pandavas, they have an empire or they have five villages. It adjusts, but they still are Kshatriyas and do what Kshatriyas do. Right? So even if they're in the forest, they had nothing, they still would protect the sages and do the different things that they would do. Does that make sense? So that time can't destroy, because that's what you're supposed to be doing. Basically, time just destroys that which you're not supposed to be doing. Right? So being in the material world, you're not supposed to be. So your best practice is for proper performance of your duties and connecting that to Krishna. Right? So then you're in the best situation you can be in the material world. Right? And you know, if you can say that positioning yourself in the toilet is, you know, there's a better and worse condition. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so we're in the material world, so it's not ideal, but we can situate ourselves the best. That's the performance of proper duties. And then, doing that for Krishna, then situates us as the soul. Right? So as the soul, we're in devotional service, and as the aspect of the body, the conditioning, then that's in its best position. Does that make sense? So we, the soul, are in the best position, and the tools that we use, the body, is in the best position. Right? That's it. It's pretty simple. Right? Yes?
So one could say that there is devotional service goes on despite the situation, but there are situations that are more favorable to the cultivation of Krishna.
It means you need to separate the two things, right? Means devotional service goes on despite what is the situation, and then one looks for those situations that are the most favorable for performing your devotional service.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
So, Mahajan, to perform our duty means we are the Dharma platform.
Yes, the platform of Dharma.
And if we don't perform, means the consequences are like air condition.
It just means that the environment means if we're functioning in a religious environment, the transformation of the material energy is generally better than if you're not performing. Right, you could say, but there are materialists who have all kinds of facility, but what is that facility, good or nice?
Not necessarily.
You know what I'm saying? It's that people have control, but what do they have? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? What do they really have? We look at it because we're looking at, okay, this one has power, this one has money, this one has fame, this one. But the point is the environment which it's in, is it nice? Right? It means, like Yudhishthir Maharaj, he's famous. He moves through the beat, but it's very nice, it's very pleasant. You know, is anybody trying to get Yudhishthir's autograph? Right? Are they trying to take pictures of him that they can sell? You understand? So that's the thing. That's the fame that comes from duty. It's based on relationships. But this other, it's not based on relationships. So you're famous, and you can't even walk out in the street. You can't do an ordinary activity that you would like to.
Yes.
Right? Because how you're there is not through the performance of one's duties. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? It's just like this. Okay, just take for example. Now, let us say I have a sense of personal duties.
Yes.
Okay, just to use that previous example, because someone may doubt. Okay, so you have somebody, and they have a sense of duties and family and everything like that. But at the same time, as they have a nature, they're an actor. So then they are somehow or another recognized, they land very good things, they're very famous. But when they go home, since that it's just like the ordinary person, what does he do every night?
Sleep.
He sleeps, stay at home. How often do they go out to a party? Right? So they have a life, and if there's a party, then nice. And if there's no party, they could go months, years of no party. You know what I'm saying? You understand? So if someone is an actor, but has that personal sense of duty and all that, they take care of the family and all that. When they're not on the whatever it is, the stage or behind in front of the camera, they're at home doing their duties at home. So they're comfortable. So there is no problem of going out doing this because there's no need to.
Yes.
But if someone is just, they're just the actor and it's all the celebrity thing, they have to be out at parties and after parties and after parties and this and that. So then they have more of a problem. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. If it's based on the duties, then it goes nicely. And otherwise, at the same time, it's what do you care? As long as the guy taking the picture stays out of your way, then you just live your life. It's just you're still on camera. You know, you're still on camera. You know, you don't break the fourth wall. So you're at dinner. You're eating dinner with somebody. As long as they don't come up close, you just tell them, I'm eating dinner. You stay back and take your pictures, you know. But you just do carry on the way you do. And he's doing his job, he's taking his pictures and trying to get some money out of it, and you're doing your job, you're with family and friends and just having a dinner. You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference in the mentality, but if you think, no, it's going to be the way I want, I can control it, I can go get away, no one will notice, you'll be frustrated. Yudhishthira doesn't think, I'm going to walk out in the street and no one's going to notice. It's just when he walks out in the street, it's going to be personal relationships. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, then with time, it's then the paparazzo knows. This guy will let you take pictures, just stay out of the way. You know, it's just, you know, be professional. You know?
Yes.
And then there's a respect.
Yes.
You know, so they don't get in his face and he doesn't take their camera and break it. Right? So it works. So you've chosen that life, it means people are going to be always interested. You know what I'm saying? So we see just that move in the mentality changes the whole scenario. So even if it is that high life, you can still function there because you're just performing your duties in that. You know, you go to the parties, you're with friends to spend time with the friends, or you're at these parties because you need to be because it's just part of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, it's part of the, it's either occupational or it's social. You know what I'm saying? So you can still function. Or you don't bother with those things and just stay at home because you're a great cook and you have a nice house and your view is great. And so therefore, you know, and you close your curtains at night and so Hari Bol, you know. Right? And you have an indoor pool instead of an outdoor pool. And, you know, then you can go for a swim. Right? So, you know, you just, in other words, you adjust to the environment that your duties generate. You can't expect something else. You can't expect I'll have all the facility and fame when I want it of the one, and at the same time I'll also have the not anybody knowing me of the other. You know, if you want that, then you have to, you know, go off somewhere to some place that nobody's ever heard of you. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. So, like that, you just have to adjust.
Below duty, it's only materialistic life.
Sorry?
Below duty, it's only materialistic life.
Yes, I mean, your duty can be materialistic, but at least his mode of goodness materialistic. Right? But then when you drop below that, that's when it starts getting more rough.
Yes.
Mode of goodness is still, it's the best you get in the material world, but compared to devotional service, it's not that great.
Yes.
Right? But but it's still as far down as you want to get.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, which would you rather do? Reach into the garbage can, grab the plastic bag, and pick it up and take it outside, or get in there with your hands and all that and get all the garbage out and then have to put it in your wheelbarrow and then take it outside. You know, and if you put a wheelbarrow in front out there where the garbage man comes, he'd probably tell you that you put it inside the garbage truck. You understand? So that's the thing, is the mode is just that how much you're going to be involved. It doesn't mean you're not going to be involved, it's just that it's a little bit more pleasant. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like dealing with the garbage with rubber gloves on or something. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Okay.
The living entity, out of ignorance only, he thinks that everything is permanent. The living entity, in whatever species of life he appears, finds a particular type of satisfaction in that species. So we can see is that what he's talking about means all species. But the example is going to say family life in an illusioned human. Because the point is the same thing is there in the animals. You know, like the birds, they think, you know, they get together, there's going to be great family life, they look around for a place to stay, apartment, you know, hopping, and, you know, then you find the right place, they found this shelf, they set up there, they bring all the stuff, right, the man is bringing all the twigs and all that, and the lady bird is accepting some of them she rejects, and he feels Beko's looking for some more. You can sit there and watch it, right? You know, it's not like it's just easy, you know? It's like, you know, half of the twigs he brings aren't worthwhile, right? You know? And it's not even that, it's just that the twig itself isn't, it's about the mood. Because afterwards, you see, there's this whole pile of twigs on the ground. After a while, he starts picking those up and taking them, and then they're accepted. Because he's made more endeavor. Right? So it's about, he's got to work just as hard. So the man's thinking, why do I have to do this? But the bird's doing exactly the same thing. Right? It's the same, you know. And then the eggs are there, the babies are there, and then you got to run around all day to find something to eat, you know. And then I think at least the ones you see here, the doves, they take turns, right? One sits for a while and the other one goes out, and that's their time. They can go and get a little me time, right? You know. And then, you know, so it's like that. It's not that they don't have the same problems, but it'll be harder for us to relate to, because you say, oh, birds don't get like that, so therefore why even give the example? We just talk about the human. Right? Then everybody thinks it's great. But it applies in all species of life. Every species has the same thing. It's just the time frame and the particular, but the feelings are the same. You know, in other words, we're, you know, we've got the right house with the right view and everything, and so the bird's got the right ledge with the right view, you know, so it's the same thing. I've seen it here. We got all these windows up there, you know, and there's a little dinky, there's a 5-centimeter ledge, right? And then some of them are 5.5, some of them are a little bit more, you know, or the brickwork, you have, maybe you can get 6 centimeters. And so then they fly from each one to one, checking out which is that, try this end, try that end of the window. They try the whole thing, and then they get one that they really like. And then they start to build a nest, and because it's only 6 centimeters, it won't stay. So it always falls off. But then they try all day, they put all the stuff, it falls off, they pick it back up, put it again. Yes, yes. So if that happens for a few days, then they give up and then go look somewhere else. But it's the same thing. So, you know, you thought this apartment would be great, or the neighbors are terrible, or they got a dog, or, you know, like that. The view is fabulous, but then the pollen, you get hay fever, you know, so then, it just doesn't work out. But it's the same experience. Just we don't, you know, it takes us, we may be, you know, months or years switching places, the birds is days and they're switching places, but it's the same experience. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. And he is never averse to being situated in such a condition, right? Whatever species of life you're in, you're never averse to being in that species. The dog isn't worried that he's a dog. He's quite comfortable being a dog.
That's mommy's covering?
Yeah, that's the covering. Because the soul isn't a dog. Right? So that's Maya's covering. So that's why she covers and then she throws. So then you don't mind. Like Prabhupada says, is that, you know, as they say, the human, that they're in human life, and by their behavior they're supposed to be a pig. So you can't just take that human and stick him directly into a pig's body. He wouldn't be able to function. So what they do is the Yamadutas, then they starve him. So he's hungry. So then they bring him stool to eat. And they bring really bad stool, foul stool, like that. And, you know, but he won't eat. But after a while he gets so hungry, then they start to eat. And then once he gets accustomed to that, he's eating comfortably, then they bring a better quality stool, right? That doesn't taste quite as bad. And when he goes, ooh, this is better, then he's ready. Then he goes into the pig's body. Because then the pig makes the distinction. Oh, this is better stool, this is not so good stool. So that's what they do. They have to condition. So that's part of the job of the Yamadutas, right? So it's not just all glory, coming, pick the guys up, drag him down to Yamaraj. They also have to train all these guys. You know, I mean, it says you get thrown off the cliff, you know, thousands of times. Who throws you? Who drags you up there? The Yamadutas have to do that. So they're working. They're doing their duties. They're not just sitting around enjoying life, you know. So. Right? So they're religious, right? You know, got in their quota of throwing the guy off the cliff, you know, X amount of times per day. You know, so, you know, they're doing their job. Okay. The conditioned living entity is satisfied in its own particular species of life, while deluded by the covering influence of the illusory energy. He feels little inclined to cast off his body, even when in hell, for he takes delight in hellish enjoyment. Right? You know, it's like, what is it? What is it? There's one. There's some kind of, there's some joke where the guy comes to hell and then he's got a choice. Does he want to be in this hell or in this hell? You know, because I guess he has to go through both, but which one does he want to do first? So he looks at the one, and they're out there, physical labor, working hard, sweating, you know, they're suffering. And then he sees another group of guys who are standing up to their neck in stool, and urine like that, drinking tea. And he thinks, wow, okay, well, this one looks good. So then he wades in, they give him his cup of tea, and then after a couple of minutes, then they go, okay, tea breaks over, back on your head. You know, so... So, like that. It's, you know, they have their hellish enjoyment. Wow, you know, they're down here for a certain... Then we'll have tea time. You know, so.
2 to 5. One may wonder what type of enjoyment there might be in hell. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yeah, tea bags. Yeah, right? We said tea, it's just like this. Is London a tourist destination? And tourists go there because they want to
enjoy,
be happy, right? What did Prabhupada say about London? It's hell. Right? You know, someone's saying about, you know, going to hell, but they said, Prabhupada said, this is hell. Right? Yeah, okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to verse 5 that the enjoyments of hell, narakyam, are the food, association with women, and items obtained there. A historical anecdote which exemplifies this illusion is given in Srila Prabhupada's purport. The satisfaction of the living entity in a particular type of body, even if it is most abominable, is called illusion. It is said that once Indra, the king of heaven, was cursed by his spiritual master, Brihaspati, on account of his misbehavior, and he became a hog on this planet. After many days when Brahma wanted to recall him to his heavenly kingdom, Indra, in the form of a hog, forgot everything of his royal position in the heavenly kingdom, and he refused to go back. This is the spell of Maya. Even Indra forgets his heavenly standard of life and is satisfied with the standard of a hog's life. By the influence of Maya, the conditioned soul becomes so affectionate towards this particular type of body that if he is offered, give up this body and immediately you will have a king's body, he will not agree. This attachment strongly affects all conditioned living entities. Lord Krishna is personally canvassing, give up everything in this material world. Come to me and I shall give you all protection. But we are not agreeable. We think, we are quite all right. Why should we surrender unto Krishna and go back to his kingdom? This is called illusion or Maya. Everyone is satisfied with the standard of living, however abominable it may be.
It's because we don't know the definition. We'll think that, oh, well, our life is fine, so hell is something else. Right? But on the higher planets, they would consider much of what's on this planet to be hellish. And very few situations would they accept that this would be okay. But as you go down in into the hellish regions, the planets become equal as lower and lower. There's some sections where the demons have their places, that they have heavenly facility, but that's because of piety. But then below that, you know, in Patal and these places, it's just hellish down there. Right? But people become conditioned to that, and so then they're comfortable with that. Does that make sense? Sorry?
Deities.
Yes. Yeah, but because they perform their duties within, but they're just not God conscious. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then the ones that aren't functioning within this realm of duties, generally their lifestyle is not that great. No.
There are, food is considered enjoyment.
Food, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so whatever you get, it's just like, what do you call it? Devotees are taking prasad, they're enjoying. There's people in the mode of goodness, they're eating their prasad. Then there's people in path, there's people in ignorance. So there's people eating all kinds of things. Like I remember seeing one person eating a Limburger cheese sandwich with onions on top. Right? And probably throw in some mustard and God only knows what else, right? Okay, yeah, so we've got some backup for the thing, right? You know, so you're probably not going to get a more disgusting sandwich than that, right? And I can remember afterwards the person with the big grin then breathing on the person next to them and them about to faint, right? You know, so whatever it is. So here is the position. But they consider this is enjoyment. Right, so there's all kinds of. That's why the earth is considered in between. It's got some heavenly pleasures, it's got hellish pleasures. So there's things here that people eat that are hellish, you know. But then there's things that people eat that are heavenly. You know, it's not like you have a how you say Limburger with a nice saffron sauce on top, right? You know, no, they don't go together. You can maybe throw some truffles in there, like that. Like the other day, I don't know, what is it? There's something about truffles, right? They cost like, you know, $1,000 or more.
for a small amount. They're very expensive. But I smelled some. They smell really terrible. Sorry?
It's their smell.
Huh?
So bad, so they
no, that's just the way they smell. Supposedly they taste better than they smell, but they don't. Okay. You know, it's just like durian. It smells, what is it, the saying is, smells like hell, tastes like heaven. But, you know, that would be a little tough to, you know, like eating an ice cream down at the garbage dump, you know, where it smells terrible, but, you know, yeah, the ice, I mean, I would avoid it. Right? You're not from Malaysia, are you? Okay, just wanted to make sure I didn't offend anybody. Like, what do you mean? That's our national food. Right? Okay. Okay, does that make sense? So that means is they have their what they eat. Like means says it means get into it, the amount of things they're like Prabhupada. I think it's Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada talks about that in, I think it's in Burma, that there was some village or some district or that, anything that died in the village went into this pot. Mm-hmm. And every now and again, you know, on special days, and they have a little spigot at the bottom, then they would, you know, take out the juice and everybody would drink that. Mm-hmm. And that was considered very, very special. So that's hellish. But they consider that's the festival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But in their mind, because they're conditioned, they think it's a good thing.
Haggard.
Sorry?
Haggard.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, we can go on unlimitedly talking about, so I've avoided, you know, getting into the details here, like that. But yes. It's just like, it's unlimited what people can get into. Does that sound like sense? Verses 6 to 18. Family life of an illusioned human, right? Because we mentioned, we're not going to mention on the lower planets, the heavenly planets, or that. We'll just mention here, because this is what works for us. Right? Next, the Lord explains the reason for such irrational attachment. Such satisfaction with one's standard of living is due to deep-rooted attraction. Niruddha mula hridaya, for body, wife, home, children, animals, wealth, and friends. In such association, the conditioned soul thinks himself quite perfect. Verse 6, Srila Prabhupada writes, this so-called perfection of human life is a concoction. Therefore, it is said that the materialist, however materially qualified he may be, is worthless because he is hovering on the mental plane, which will drag him again to the material existence of temporary life. One who acts on the mental plane cannot get promotion to the spiritual. Such a person is always sure to glide down again to material life. In the association of so-called society, friendship, and love, the conditioned soul appears completely satisfied, right? Because here, one can say, no, but what about family, this and that? The point is it's not about family, it's about performing the proper duties within the family, right? And because we don't understand goodness, because we think that that's something terrible, something that's forced upon us, but that's due to ignorance, that we would have that. No, it's because you're doing what you're supposed to do, right? It's doing what you're supposed to do for somebody that takes on the higher quality. Right? You would rather just lay in bed and do nothing, but you think, I would like to make this person happy, so you get out of bed and do something. That's the sense of duty, but its result is a much higher effect. Right? So therefore, one's dealing because these are the duties. Right? Just like, let's say, if you have a child. And the child's small enough, they need attention 24/7. Okay, now when the attachment is a little bit more, you give that attention. But when you feel, what about me, I get no time, then you're going to try to not give attention. So, how is that better? But if you were functioning on a platform of duty, then the child would always get attention all the time. You understand? So the Vedic system is higher but because of the mode of ignorance, and that being the definition for why we do things, that lacking, you think, then on the mode of goodness, I'd have no motive to perform the activity. That's why it says so-called love, so-called friendship, so-called society. Yes?
It's not possible without any training.
Yes, it's not possible without training. So therefore... Yes, so that's why they're supposed to be training. You know, like that Prabhupada was expecting there'd be devotees that would be Bhaktivedanta by 75. Right? So that meant this, he saw that training would be there. Sorry?
Are there any now?
I don't know. Through the VTE, I don't think there are any.
They are starting next year.
I think so now they're just finishing the Bhakti Vai Bhav.
In November, they are starting.
Starting the Bhakti Vai Bhav. Yeah, we'll start the September after that. You had something? Somebody had something? Oh, you had, yes.
Sometimes to follow duties or some duties is very, well, generally it's very hard, but sometimes it can be so hard to, in a doing also our devotional activities. So.
Well, that's where you have to find a balance. Because the point is you have to do your duties. At what level those duties are performed, that you have to choose. You understand? Let us say, okay, you have to do your sadhana. That takes X amount of time in a day. Okay? So let's just take it that we're going to do that sadhana. Okay? Now we have to take care of the family, we have other things to do, we have household chores and all that. Okay? Now let's say that to take care of the family, there's not enough time because the house is, you know, you have to take care of so many things to do in the house and this and that, right? Would that be practical? Yeah? Okay, but who chose the size of house? Who chose what's in the house? Now, let's say I have a monster house and there's nothing in the house. Then how hard is it to take care of it, right? You know, in 15 minutes you can wipe down the floor of the whole place. So, you understand? So that's what we choose, the environment. That's why the rabbinical environment is simpler. Because they have so much sadhana, and the sadhana is their occupation also. Right? So therefore, they keep a very simple environment. If you go into traditional Brahmin houses, there's hardly anything in it. Very essential things. The puja stuff is very nice, the kitchen's very nice, but the rest of the house is just only what's needed and not more. What you can move easy, what you can do maximum things with the place. Right? It's just like here, you have this big veranda. What can we do on that veranda? Right? It can be a classroom. Right? It can also be where they sleep. The boys can play there. They can have their free time, you know, they can sit and study. They can practice their music there. They can run around like idiots there. They can do so many things there. Right? But if you have a house, by the modern context, one room does one thing. You know, Versailles being the example. You know, you have one room, all it has in it in the middle is a clock. So you run into the time, you walk to that part of the house. Right? So each room has an exact thing, and that's all that happens there. But in the Vedic house, basically any room except the deity room and the kitchen can be used for anything. So that's the advantage. So you need less place. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you need more space. You see, but you choose. So when it says balance, it means you have to balance the whole thing. You say it's impossible to balance. No, it's impossible because of our desire. And if you say, well, I can't get rid of the desire, then adjust to it. You have this desire, you have to take care of your house, you have to take care of this, you have to take care of sadhana, so you're going to have very little time. So if you want to have everything, then you're just going to be in anxiety all the time because you can't have everything. So you have to prioritize. So what's important? So the most important is going to be the sadhana, and then the family. Then after that is the facilities. So if I put it in that order, I'm going to see the sadhana is done. Because of that, my family interaction is going to be better because everybody will be less grumpy. And then, whatever time you do have left, you'll be able to take care of the house. And what you can't take care of, because sadhana and good family is there, you don't care that you get rid of half of the stuff you have. Right? Because life's good anyway. The whole point is you have all the stuff to be happy. But the stuff won't make you happy. But sadhana and dealing, proper dealings in the family will. So therefore, you can get by with less stuff. That's why Brahmins are happy and they have less stuff.
Yes.
They can say, well, Kshatriyas have tons of stuff, but they got enough money that they have servants. If you have 2,000 maid servants taking care of your house, you can have a big house, no problem. Right? Devahuti has a flying palace, and she has 2,000 maid servants that take care of it. No problem. But if you're not like that, then you... Right? Now, when they're not in the flying palace of the 2,000 maid servants, what do they live in?
A hut.
Right? You know, it's probably one room with a veranda on the front. Or a veranda around. Whatever it is, that's what it is. And then, in that case, then Kardama and his wife can take care of everything. So that's the whole thing. You can't want the world unless you have it. Does that make sense? Yes.
Side point, when Kardama left, Devahuti was left with the flying palace or the hut?
Just as a side note, we just kind of want to know what we're getting into here, right? You know. Okay. Yeah, so in the future, so we end up with the palace or do we end up with the hut? Right. And so, I just, you know, yeah, he called it precedent, you know. So, yeah. I'm not sure. I kind of remember the verses are talking something about a hut. Not at the end, but then they got into a lifestyle, but I can't remember for sure. So, and maybe he stayed in the hut and she stayed in the palace. But it didn't say that the palace went away. And it didn't say they gave that up and moved back to their hut. So I get the idea that she still has the palace. Well, actually, I would say it is the palace, because when you have the pictures for Kapila Muni instructing his mother, it's in a palace. It's not in a hut. So most likely she still has the palace.
But after the instruction?
That we'll see. We'll see. Because it's about connecting it to Krishna. So if you can connect it, it's nice. And you're comfortable. See, it's just like this. Because if it's about connecting it to Krishna, then it's about the taste of devotional service. So then the aspect of dealing with the indirect, if it's part of your duties, then you still do it, even if it's difficult. But if it's not part of your duties, like as a grihastha, you maintain all the facilities because you still have family members that are interested. Right? Means the husband may not be, but his wife is. Or the husband and wife may not be, but their kids are.
Yes.
Right? But when the kids are mature enough, they can take over the house. Now they can downsize to something that's simpler. Mm-hmm. Right? Because now all that goes to the kids. They can have the big place, and then the parents move into the guest room. Right?
Yes.
Like that. So that's... Right? But one can't make that adjustment before that. That's what we mean by artificial renunciation. Because there's no need. If it's engaged in the Lord's service, whether you're engaging very little or a lot, as long as it's engaged in the Lord's service, it's perfect. Right? So if one's a grihastha, one has the facility, one has the family, that's the lifestyle, why would one live simpler? Right? But if one doesn't have, why would one try to live it more than simple? Right? It's not that because I become renounced, now the whole family has to be renounced. No, I become renounced, so now I can perform my duties as a householder from the platform of Naishkarma. So I'll even do them nicer now. Does that make sense? So, Daddy's so much nicer now that he's become detached. Because now he's willing to let everybody else kind of, you know, take the lead in the conversation or, you know, get the best situations or food or, you know, like that. And then it just makes it so much easier. You're already in that serving mood. Then you move into vanaprastha, even like that. From that, so it just makes it easier and easier. Someone would say, oh, but in that mood, then you'd be a bad grihastha. No, you'd actually be a better grihastha. The more attached you are, the more difficult it is to perform the duty nicely because you have your own interest. That's what's not understood. Our idea is I'll have the cake and eat it. No, you can do one or the other. Right? That makes sense. Yes.
So in this section it says that the condition soul that appears completely satisfied, is that because that his satisfaction is on the mental platform? Because it says that he's
Yes, he appears. Because in his mind this is society, friendship and love. But he doesn't understand the actual society, friendship and love is in the spiritual world. Because then that love is on the platform of Brahman. You know, so it's the soul, it's the supreme soul. It's actually personal. Right? Let's say if I, you know, whatever it is, I contact whoever makes dolls, like soft dolls or something. And I have them make some life-size dolls. So I have a life-size Winnie the Pooh, I have a life-size Tigger, I have a life-size, you know, Eeyore. You know, and I sit them around, you know, the living room and all that. And I sit there and we hand out tea and we're sitting and I'm talking to everybody and it's a whole thing going on. So is it really personal? Not. We would generally classify it as crazy, not personal. Or childish, yeah, something, but something's not right. So the whole point is in the material world, who is the wife? The soul or the body? The body. You marry the body, you don't marry the soul. It's not two souls get married, it's two bodies get married. So the guy that thinks concept of soulmates, it's not this, it's body mates. You know, it's like that. That's what you have. Yes, we're body mates. You know.
Yes.
Or you could say modes mates.
Huh?
Mind mates. Yeah, you know, like that. Because that's where it go on if you go on, you know, for seven lifetimes. That would be because the mind goes so that the body would change. But the mind would say, yeah, so mind mates. Yeah, that would be even better. Okay? Does that make sense? So, it's not on the platform of the soul. So it's not actual love or society or friendship. Because society, friendship, or love between condition between dead matter is not actual society, friendship, and love. But the soul, being in that condition, can take that and engage that in Lord's service by proper performance of duties and get the benefits of real society, friendship, and love. Because then you are working with the souls. That's why it said, see the souls. That word say, why do I have to see like that? I'm doing fine. No, but then you actually, it's personal. You know what I'm saying? When the husband and wife see each other as soul, then it really becomes personal. The children as soul, then it becomes personal. Then it's devotees, and then you interact according to conditioning. So one acts as a husband, one as a wife, some as parents, some as children. Does that make sense? So it's a much more viable position. The main thing is that having the determination to do it because the mind has accepted it. You know? So that's why that Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, that the mind is focused and has accepted it. Then it makes it easier to do. When the mind doesn't accept it, that's when it's harder to do. Right? So the Bhagavatam gives example of those who have accepted it. Right? It also gives example of those who haven't accepted it, like Duryodhana. Right? And so then we can the devotional side, we can relate to Yudhishthira's side. Our non-devotional side, then Duryodhana's. So, you know, we see all the things. How did it work out for Yudhishthira? How did it work out for Duryodhana? So, my mixed devotional service, this part's going to work out great, but this part may not work out so good. Right? Does that make sense?
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Sambhavita Bhakti Vrinda ki Jai Nitai Gaura